If you love an Aussie underdog who punches above, look no further than Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Download the Bluebet app today and bet Australian. Conditions apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome to the Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, Wendell Saylor. Follow us on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M, and we are excited. The team is all back together again. He's got a shirt on, Del. Yes. Jude Bolton is joining us. Mate, you haven't had a shirt on since the moment you left Mascot. It's a true story, mate. There's 4,000 photographs of you in America.
Stop making this stuff
your
up, gear, mate.
Your top has not been on in any of those, but it's good to see you, mate.
It's great to be back in here with you,
lads. How was your trip?
It was good. I just flew over with my wife just for a week. We got a chance to get away without our kids. So a big thanks to the in-laws and my mum and dad for looking after the kids. It gave us a bit of chance to breathe.
Honestly, just take a trip whenever you want. Don't worry about your job. Yeah. You just decide to go to America. Don't worry about us.
We've got 1 week to go.
Hey, there's a thing called burnout, and especially when I've carried you blokes backsides. Yeah, for most of the time, it's okay.
It's a fair point. Yeah. 2 years on 2 years on Saturday, as well as nearly a year here. How are you, Del?
Have a look at me, mate. I'm great. I'm feeling good, mate.
I can see that, but our listeners are more.
I know, but I'm feeling great. It's just that time of the year where the only thing I don't like at the moment, I've got to say, guys, is the wind. The wind just gets me a little bit jittery, and I don't feel like.
It's funny you should say that. Yeah. I got off the plane today, and there was just blowing a gale.
No one cares about you getting off your plane this morning. What about this?
You and your fake heart attack.
Oh! Come on. There's a discussion for another. How dare you?
Did he go there?
He just went there. A 2015 US study found that higher wind speeds. Oh, look at you. Oh, high-fiving each other. You dickheads.
We're back.
A US study found that higher wind speeds were associated with increased levels of depression. Observations of the behaviour of children in the playgrounds revealed that the average number of fights per day doubled when the wind speeds crossed the biological threshold of above force 6.
I don't know what that biological threshold is.
I think it just means
it's a big wind.
If it's big wind, yeah. Yep. It was also a 2008 German study which found that strong winds made people more likely to feel irritable, jittery or distressed. My wife is a school teacher.
That's my...
We used to always say that kids, oh, it's windy today, the kids are going to play up.
Yes.
What about your mum and dad? They were teachers all their life?
Yeah, I didn't realise it could make it people so irritable, but feel that.
It can. I'm feeling it today and even yesterday, look, this study's right on. The German study is right on the money.
There's even a superstition among staff in hospitals that pregnant women are more likely to go into labour when it's windy.
Wow.
So there you go. Well. So let's just look after ourselves getting home this afternoon in this wind. How good was it on the weekend? Just after midnight on Saturday night, the Gillaroos got the job done. They won the World Cup first.
It's picked up there by Polite. New Zealand really having to get on top there in defence. And Polite still knocked down.
Yeah, just beat them in the round game, but in the end,
they were
so good in that final.
They just went
bang, 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 just one try after another, never gave New Zealand a sniff.
Yeah, they come out of the blocks, and this is what you want to do. It's a bit like the Melbourne Cup. You want to be peaking at the right time, and that's what the women did. And, you know, you look at Brigginshaw, she was a class act. Everything she did was classy, but Kezia Yap, she set the standard in the forwards, and then the outside backs did their job. You know, they did what they had to do. Sam Bremner did what she had to do. When you've got Emma Tanagotto on the bench coming on, you know you've got a stacked side. Yeah,
absolutely. They're
well done, girls, and you know on the big stage too. So it's good to see them getting a bit of respect. And
I loved it afterwards. They go and have the celebration into the grandstands to watch the boys.
Yes,
because the boys got the job done as well.
Clary Long, here it is. Mitchell with it. It started with a Mitchell try. It'll finish with a Mitchell try. Asia champions, the Australian kangaroo.
Yeah, beautiful. 30-10 over Samoa. Samoa, in the end, no real chance of winning that game. Aussies came on, switched on, and Cleary had his best game in an Australian jersey. And Latrell Mitchell was a pretty good player, isn't he?
Oh, how strong.
Wow, how strong was he?
Just classy, mate.
Like, I was more worried about him sliding into the grandstand with those short in-goals at Old Trafford, obviously set up for the soccer, Man United soccer team.
Yeah, but look, I just think, you know, you got to sit back and, look, Samoa, it was wonderful what they had achieved. And, you know, even the humility after the game, the new Australia played better than them. But, you know, what such a great Australian side. Not even the strongest Australian side, because obviously other players played for other countries, you know. Yeah. We saw that. And I just like the way that they carried themselves. Mate, Melman Ingers, the head coach, for a reason. Like, he did it with Queensland. He might not be the best tactical coach, but he knows how to get you up for the big games. So whatever he did in through that that Australian side, it worked a treat.
Tedesco and Addo Carr. I mean, just like, and you look back at the Origin series.
Do you think Addo Carr might get picked for the State of Origin this year?
It's just the one that's got away from us.
Yeah, Freddie might find a way to leave him out. But, like, mate, we all get it wrong sometimes. But, you know, well done to Josh Addo Carr too, because I think he was close to Australia's best player for the tournament.
Yeah, I think he was close to the player of the tournament, full stop.
Yeah, for sure. And, but even the way Latrell carried himself, I said this last year, I said, we're going to see a different Latrell Mitchell when he came back after the Joey Manu thing. Mm. And I think we've seen the emergence of a real mature Latrell Mitchell. Mate, love him or hate him, geez, the kid can play, Latrell Mitchell, and he's doing it easy. But even the way that he spoke after about playing for Australia, this is what those players want to do. Cam Murray, big rap for him too, the way that he played in the forwards. I know the forwards set the standard, but, you know, and the backs get a lot of the raps, but I'm telling you, our forwards, mate, they just kept aiming up every game.
And Melman Ingers' effort just as coach. I mean, just to pull this squad together, but he's
I wouldn't mind coaching this team as well. No, honestly, of course, he's a class act.
Yeah.
He's a legend,
and
right?
He built a culture as well.
Mate, he's built a culture, but you and I could have coached that Australian team.
No, that's crap, mate.
Are you kidding?
You're
saying the Australian team couldn't have won the World Cup with another coach or with someone else coaching?
You've got to have the right coach there to disqualify. And I've got to say, Nathan Cleary, there's a bit of pressure on Nathan Cleary.
That is garbage. Anyone could have coached that Australian rugby league team to win the World Cup.
No, they couldn't have, Gus. But anyway, well done to Nathan Cleary, because I think Nathan Cleary had a little bit of pressure on him. He was always going to aim up, a couple of try assists, and just what he's done over the last couple of years. Nathan Cleary, worth every dollar that you're paying Penrith Panthers.
Oh, look, I don't think he'll pay for any other club ever. Yeah. They're not going anywhere without Nathan Cleary. What do you want to fight me now? What are you, Malman Ingers, like blood brother or something?
You don't want to fight me, guys.
Settle down. That's true. Time now for one of these. Yeah, first world problems. If you just listen to the show, you just know that you're going to get all the answers to all the big questions.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And we want you involved on 133353 to answer one of these problems for us, and your chance to win that double pass to see Jim Jefferies at the State Theatre in December. And this is a problem that's come from one of your mates, Jude.
Yeah, so just to set it up, he lives in this sort of complex, and they've got a communal area at the back of his apartment. So it's sort of like townhouses more so, and they've got a space at the back. Now, my mate, he has these local kids that keep jumping over his back gate to retrieve their basketball. The ball keeps going over. There's a basketball.
Where's the ring?
The ring is really probably poorly positioned. It's in a communal area. It shouldn't be right next to his property. But so it keeps coming over. But these kids, one or two times a day, they're jumping over, grabbing the ball, you know. And now he's realised that his back gate actually doesn't close properly. Like, it's just they keep jumping up. And because they're climbing over, they're launching from that, and it's just, it's almost falling off the hinges.
The hinges, yeah.
Yeah, the body weight of the kids going over the top.
But the question is, like, does he sit there and go, bang, tell them off and tell them to stop straight away? Does he go and move the basketball ring? Does he even have that right to say, kids,
where's the basketball ring actually attached to? Is it attached to his fence?
It's one of those movable ones.
Oh, well,
it's a movable one.
Well, just move the basketball ring. Mate, Blind Freddy could tell you what to do there.
Yeah,
I think Stevie Wonder's got that one covered.
Yeah.
Don't bring us these things that are so simple to deal with.
Please.
But he's saying there's a bigger story here, because even if you
do
the ball can bounce and stuff.
But people don't like that if you're jumping over
I reckon
all the time.
Yeah. Old school, you'd absolutely go, it doesn't matter. You know the kids, play on, jump over our fence, da-da-da.
Exactly.
Even, you're like, my mum,
cricket balls all the time.
My mum used to bring out cordials, you know, for the kids if we're playing in and around, maybe a slice of cake or a Vicky or something like that.
This one.
Have a look at me. how do you reckon I win? No, but I reckon your mate, it's play on. I think he's just got to say, hey guys, would you mind moving the thing? But if that's a problem, don't be that bloke.
Yeah.
Let the kids play. Let the kids jump over the fence. It's all good.
What's your mate's name? Tell me his name.
It's Piggers.
Piggers?
Oh.
Piggers. Piggers.
Not really.
Have a
not
long,
happy,
hard look
not
yourself.
Happy, not happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Piggers. Should kids be allowed to jump the back fence and collect balls?
Back in the day, absolutely. These days, you just never know. Rob, start the ball rolling for us, brother. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Rob. Absolutely. Why do you let them just go?
Hey, because that's what used to be like in old school. You know, we used to all bloody play outside. They all complain about kids inside on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
Let them get inside and have some fun.
Exactly right, Paul. Oh, exactly right, Rob. You agree with that, Del?
Yeah, I do. But you know what's funny? It's like when I used to go over one of the neighbours' yards, the one that had the dog, he used to play a bit of roulette. Like one of the boys got, but you got to go, it's your turn to go. And you try and put the dog back over the fence.
Exactly right. Paula, what are your thoughts on this one?
Hi, guys. Well, personally, I think he's got two choices. He could either leave the gate open and let the kids come in and out at their leisure so nothing gets broken.
Oh,
or
yeah.
If he's that staunch on not having them come in, just put those spikes on the top of the fence that they put for pigeons so they can't land.
Oh, that is two different ways of looking at it, Paul. I like your thinking. What's your mate most likely to do,
I think,
Jude?
I don't think he'd wouldn't leave the gate open, but I don't think that's pretty aggressive, the spikes.
Yeah. Paula was pretty strong at it, though, wasn't she?
What about Nathan? Let's go, Nathan.
How you going, gentlemen?
Welcome to the Rush Hour, mate. Should kids be allowed to jump the fence and collect their balls?
Mate, kids do whatever they want, mate. You know, you can't tell them, but, you know, it's up to them if they want to get bit on the backside or not, eh?
Would you let them across your backyard, though, Nath?
Mate, if they could get over my fences without cutting their hands to pieces, yeah, they could have a go.
Good on you, Nath.
Mate, yeah, what about you, Darren? What about, should kids be allowed to jump over the fence to fetch a ball or two?
Yeah, well, a similar story happened to my parents. They bought a place backing onto a sports field.
Mm-hmm.
Balls were going over left, right and centre. Mm-hmm. And parents actually was a bit worried the kids were going to hurt themselves. So Dad put a gate in.
Oh.
So kids could go in themselves, and he used to just lock it at night.
Yeah.
A bit of security, and it sort of saved all the problems. Yeah,
what's your dad's name, Darren?
Phil.
Phil is a legend.
He's a legend.
Big tick of the box for Phil.
Yeah, you know what I can't understand? You know people that buy places in and around golf courses?
Yeah, yeah.
And golf balls go
and then they blow up when the golf balls goes into their backyard?
Yeah, mate.
Grow up, everyone.
You idiots.
Let's go to Mick in Parramatta. G'day, Mick. What were your thoughts? Finish it off for us, brother.
Gus, Delicious, and Bolton, how you going?
Good,
thanks, mate.
Mate, I reckon you should get a 12-volt battery, attach a bit of wire to it, run it across the top of the gate, and when they get a little bit of a zappo, they'll realise that they can't jump that gate anymore and they're going to have to move that hoop.
Very hard.
Mick's setting the trap.
Paula and Mick should get together, I reckon.
Yeah.
Well, we put a poll out there. 64% say, let them go.
Yes.
Let them jump over the fence, baby. Your mate's just got to cop it, and I reckon 64% is too low.
Yeah.
But good on you. We got the right result in the end. Tomorrow marks 25 years since the death of one of Australia's most iconic rockers, Michael Hutchence. Hey, and one man who knew Hutchence better than many was Mark Opitz. Mark was the producer behind some of INXS's biggest records, including Shabu Shabar, Kick X, and Live Baby Live. Mark joins us now to help us remember the great man. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Yeah, great. It's great to be here with you guys.
So 25 years, it's gone quick, or how do you feel?
I mean, the older you get, the quicker it goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's gone very quick. I mean, what hasn't gone quick is obviously Michael's legacy. Mm. You know, I mean, you hear it every day. It's everywhere. So it's so that hasn't gone.
Mm. Mark, what makes the music so enduring in your eyes? I mean, you see top 40 albums these days and they go in and out really quickly of the charts, but INXS's legacy is enormous.
It is, and also INXS were right time, right place, right people, right talent, Chris Murphy management. There are so many things that go into to get that place they got to commercial reality-wise, they'd be, one of the biggest bands in the world. There's a lot that goes into it. But, of course, it's that talent, that gets there. But I've watched that rise. It's amazing to have seen them as these kids running around to, whoa, here we are. We're all standing in Wembley Stadium. There's 100,000 people.
Amazing.
Mark, what made Michael Hutchence, I know the band was, it was a wonderful band, but as a frontman goes, Michael Hutchence, he was everything that you'd want from a frontman. Like he's
charisma.
Unbelievable. You can't buy what he had.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, he was a product of that great time in Australian music where the pub rock scene was peaking. And that meant the bands were playing every night, not like now. might see a band you want to go and see once a month if you're lucky. You know, so they always got that. That's what that era produced, so many great bands, Midnight Oil, you know, Cultures, all the Angels, all that sort of stuff. And In Excess was sort of on that middle to the end of that era. So they've been just playing and watching Michael grow into the front man that he became, you know, see the confidence go up and up and up and up until as Wembley Live was, wow, you know, I mean, we were lucky to record that performance of In Excess.
And Mark, where were you when, I guess, the fateful news came through and you heard the news that Michael had passed?
I was in my property in Varel in the Southern Highlands, and I got a call from, I think it was Chuggy, and it was a fairly early morning call because I noticed the official death was 11:51 a.m, but I got a call about 9 o'clock, and Chuggy said, there's a body in the room. Pretty much that was it. And he didn't name any names, didn't do anything like that. And so, which shocked me. I'm going, holy shit, you know, what's, I know who he's referring to. He named the hotel and said, there's a body in the room. And then about 2 minutes later, Gudinski rings me up, says, mate, Michael's passed, or words to that effect, you know, and said, why don't you do one thing for me? And I said, what's that? He said, turn your phone off. Just turn it off. Don't take any calls for the next 12 hours. If you want to call people, you call them, but turn your phone off. And he said, we'll look after it. And then that was it. He hung up. And so there I was in like the sunny day in Barrel, beautiful, rolling, you know, white, fluffy clouds up against the blue sky. Three of my kids, and, you know, and they were sort of that stage, all under 10 or just about that age, you know. And they said, we're just going to lie on this green bit of grassy hillside and just look up and look at the puffy clouds and see what we can see. And so that's basically how I spent that day, because obviously, you know, just looking up into the blue and the white cloud, and you're just reflecting, you know, it could be me and Michael in Italy with our backs against a sun-drenched wall having a beer after we've run away from everybody else, having a laugh, and just sitting in the sun, just drinking a beer, not talking about music, but anything but music.
Yeah.
You know, it took me back to sitting in French cafes when Michael and Helena used to live together in Paris. I'd go to Michael's place. There'd be Chris Bailey from the Saints, Michael and me. Yeah, and we'd just get there and down a bottle of Courvoisier, just like that, boom, you know, and just be shit-faced. And we'd just talking shit, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Then walk around the corner to the local brasserie, go upstairs and get a, you know, boulevard, something real simple, and bottle of red wine or something, continue laughing. But I remember one time, which is quite poignant, when we were in this brasserie in Paris, and he said to me, oh, shit, I've got to go on tour again. They want me to go on tour again. And he said, that means I've got to go to the Michael Hutchins, the In Excess shop, sorry, the In Excess shop, and put on the Michael Hutchins charisma coat and go on tour. You know, where I'd much rather be walking through antiquarian bookshops, having scrambled eggs on a Sunday morning late with Helena, just living life, you know, just not a care in the world.
Thanks so much again, Mark. Tomorrow, Triple M is hosting Behind the Scenes music special to honour Michael Hutchins from 12 o'clock. So do not miss that. Mark Opitz, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, mate, and for telling us a few of those tales.
All right. See you, boys.
Bye. You're just back from America, Jude. And every day this week we're going to get a little story, a little something from you and your missus going away on tour. But tell us one that happened at the airport this morning on arrival back into Sydney.
Yeah, you know how dusty you come off a long haul. It's 14 hours, 14 and a half hours or whatever.
Where were you sitting, near the back or in the front?
I was in the cattle class.
Near, okay.
Cheap to buy my missus up the front ticket or anything like that. But anyway, I was sort of... there was a mix-up with my smart pass to get through. You know how you quickly go through with the little
with
card?
With your passport.
With your passport. Yeah. Anyway, so my wife had gone through to the baggage carousel, and as I come through, she's sort of down near just waiting to collect her bags and our bags. And then I look behind her, and about probably 5 or 6 feet away.
Close then.
Was Chris Hemsworth.
Now, oh, well.
I'm not sure if I've given you the background, but if you talk about hall passes, my wife's hall pass would be Chris Hemsworth, and she's always loved Chris Hemsworth. She's loved basically all the Hemsworth brothers, to be honest. I didn't even know there was a third brother. There was the other Hemsworth. I knew there was Liam.
Even the bloke that you don't know about, she wants to sleep with.
So she wants all three of them.
Oh, hold on, Wendell. And, it's a family show, mate.
Yeah, it crushes.
And so I'm sitting there going, oh, did you know Chris was behind you, like Chris Hemsworth? And she's like, oh, really? And
did suddenly she turn around?
Suddenly she went like really flushed in the face.
Yeah.
And even then started giving me this bulldust small talk, like, oh, how many bags have we got to pick up? I'm like,
exactly how many bags I'm picking
up. She's all sort of flustered.
She's like, how long was that flight again? And I'm like, what's wrong with you here? Like, please.
Are you looking at Chris? Are you having it? Do you know him? Have you met him?
And then I tried to just give her a little peck on the lips, and she's turned the cheek a little bit. And I'm like, hang on, what has happened here?
She's frazzled, mate.
She was frazzled.
Yeah. Did she have a talk with him in the end?
And I'm so glad that I didn't actually pay for that extra, because she would have sat in business class probably next to the God of Thunder himself.
Lots of things can happen when you're asleep in those situations.
I've got to ask, what do he look like in person? Like, I've never actually seen him in person. Does he look as good as he does on his movies?
He's got bigger guns than you, mate.
That's hard to believe, but I'll take your word for it.
The God of Thunder still has to collect his own bags, which is good.
So, well, who's your hall pass?
Well, mate, I've always had a crush on Cameron Diaz, and I've got to if Cameron saw me, she'd pretty much, it'd be a thumbs up just quietly.
What about you?
Your wife's my hall pass.
Oh!
Children guys at Manly West Public School have suffered burns after an explosion believed to be a result of a science experiment gone wrong. New South Wales Ambulance confirmed there was an incident involving Year 5 students. The group of children were injured, as well as one adult believed to be the teacher. So we've got on the line Phil Templeman, who is the New South Wales Ambulance Acting Superintendent. Phil, can you tell us any more about this, and how are the kids?
Oh, good afternoon, gents. Thanks for having me on. Look, obviously we've had quite a large incident this afternoon about 1 o'clock down at Manly West Public School, just down in Balgowla. The information that we have is that we received a number of 000 calls about 1 o'clock, suggesting that a group of what we believe to be Year 5 students were conducting a science experiment outside, somewhere in the playground area of the school. It was reported to be quite a routine experiment that's quite often conducted for children of that age group. What's compounded the particular experiment this afternoon was the high winds in the area. So what we believe to have happened is that if the winds have had an impact on this particular experiment, it's hard to say exactly what's happened at this point, but whether it's blown some of the chemicals that they were experimenting with into the path of the children, or whether there's been some form of reaction or explosion, it's a little bit unclear at this point. But what we do know was that there are 11 students in total that suffered some burns, some of them to their face, some to chest, legs, arms. There was one student in a serious condition that was airlifted to hospital by the care flight helicopter. The other students were obviously quite shaken and had a degree of injuries, but they were fairly superficial, and they were able to walk after some treatment that we initiated. We initiated some cooling and various medical treatment, and a lot of them were able to walk out to the ambulances and were transported up to hospital.
Good on you, mate. You're always doing wonderful work. Thank you so much, and thanks for the update. And we just say it out to all the parents and the school and the kids, just get better as possible. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, mate. There's Phil Templeman there. Quite incredible. We've all got kids, guys. Yes. You can imagine, you go to school, you just want your kids to be safe and to get that phone call saying your kids are in hospital.
Yeah, incredible response to get the care flight helicopters there as well as 8 ambulances. So
absolutely brilliant. So we'll keep you up to date with all that. Time now to talk football.
It's a soccer's Holy Grail tournament update.
Yeah, because we haven't got the rights, we're cheap ass, we didn't get the rights, we can't call it what it actually is. So we're just talking about the football in Qatar. And Qatar overnight got beaten by Ecuador. First time ever a host nation has lost the first match of a World Cup. The first time ever.
Crazy.
Which did surprise me. They lost 2-0, but they're not expected to necessarily go that well. But tonight, England playing Iran at midnight. I'll be staying up for that one. Then Senegal, Netherlands. Then the USA and Wales. And then Argentina, Saudi Arabia. Denmark, Tunisia. And then the big one, 6 a.m. in Group D on Wednesday, France versus Australia. Before we get to that, did you guys hear the FIFA president and his absolute carry-on?
Mate, was he drunk?
He must have been. He spoke for over an hour and he crapped on about stuff that he just has no authority to talk about. Like, your job is to be the FIFA president, mate. There's no need for you to carry on giving us life lessons.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't a great speech, and he's copped it.
He should.
And rightly so. He does that press conference. It's meant to be like a 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Welcome, thank you, blah, blah, blah. Went on for over an hour.
He wasn't happy with all the Western world critics of what's going to go on. But
sorry, mate. Not your job. just not your job. But what about Australia and France? Benzema, who won the number one player in the world, he's out for France, which is good. But we've lost a big gun as well in the Socceroos in the lead up as well. Boyle's out.
Yeah, Martin Boyle's out. So it's a cruel blow for him. And obviously Graham Arnold had sort of said he's been such an important lead up player to this campaign. So. Yeah, but we'll make... it's going to be so hard against France. Yeah.
How do we look at this, Del? Like, we just won a Rugby League World Cup, men's and women's and stuff. This is the world game, global. Is it enough just to be there, or do we start now thinking we need to get out of groups for us to really start advancing as a football nation?
Well, we want to get out of groups. I think we were talking about it. We've been to 6 World Cups now. Mm. Like, we want to advance to the 16, and this is a good opportunity against France. I know, mate, we're taking on the heavyweights as we talk about it.
But Tunisia and Denmark as well, so...
So if we can get a result from one of those, get a draw somehow, you never quite know. And Graham Arnold, he's got a good atmosphere over there. It'd be a bit like the Malmaninga. The camp will be strong and stuff.
The training camp looked incredible.
Yeah, and they don't have to go far either, the Aussies. You know, other teams have to jump on the bus 20 to 30 minutes. I was watching sort of the ins and outs behind that. So
there's no shortage of cabbage when it comes to the world of or the game of football.
Football, yes.
But still can't get a beer in and around the game. Can you believe that?
Wait, what about, I love all the supporters. Like some people are going, we're not here for the beers and that. And then you get the Pompey supporters who go, I can't believe that they're into us.
Midnight tonight, I'll be up there for
I think
France will go back to back. They're that good. They'll come out of our group and win the whole thing. But, you know, you just never know. Injuries. Yeah. Benzema's a huge out for them.
I'm going Brazil. Who are you going?
Well, there's a chance they might face Argentina towards the back end. So Argentina are pretty healthy as well.
Well, we'll cover it off and we'll have someone on Wednesday after the Socceroos match as well to chat about that. How long after the breakup can you start dating someone else? The reason we talk about this, Tom Brady, he's broken up with his Mrs.
Giselle.
They've only been sort of officially single now for a few weeks.
Oh, but that's what we know.
Sure, understood. But she's been spotted out to dinner in Costa Rica with her jiu-jitsu instructor, Joaquim Valentini.
Now, how do you say that again?
Yeah.
Joaquim Valentini.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
The duo was having dinner, and it just looks to me like they are starting a date. She's moved on way too quick from my side of things. So Tom and her were like this beautiful couple. Within a couple of weeks of them separating, she's already having a little bit of sexy time with the old trainer.
Gee, you lap up the gossip sort of stuff, don't you? I mean, this is just, you're stuck in the confidential pages. You're ready to roll, aren't you? But is there a set time frame you need to wait? I believe
there's a set time. If you break up with someone, let's say like you're getting divorced, like you're married, or then you can certainly see someone else through the divorce period. Like through the separation period, no problem. If you are just dating and you break up with someone, then, open slather, you can go the next day with someone if you want to. But if there's a death, so if, let's say, one of our missus passed away, I reckon you've got to, just out of sheer, respect, you should have a couple of years on the sideline before you start going out in public with someone else. So I think it's different.
A couple of years?
Yeah.
No.
What are you looking at me like that for?
No.
Okay, your wife dies. How quickly are you going to jump back on board with someone else?
I don't know. There's no time frame, but you can't just say a couple of years.
I think it's got to be at least a couple of years out of respect for your partner that you've lost.
If there's kids involved as well and stuff like that, it's going to be messy. Yeah. But I don't think there's any set time frame. But also, you're only going to be judged by others, and who cares what anyone else.
So a lot of people worry about what other people think.
So if something happened to you, how long would you expect Vix to wait to move on from you?
I reckon if I passed away, I reckon Vix would never be with anyone else again.
Oh, mate.
I reckon she's had the best.
Okay, what? Did you have a girlfriend back in the day that ever moved on?
Mate, I had a girlfriend, Marianne Hassan.
I was
in love, big time. And she gave me the flick and I was shattered. Yeah. Just after a Pizza Hut all-you-can-eat feed in Gordon. She gives me the flick. I was like planning for the rest of our lives.
How old were you?
22.
Do you know who she gave you the flick for?
She gives me the flick and she's engaged 3 days later to the boyfriend before me.
Hang on. So she thought.
I reckon that dented the old big fella's confidence.
She thought the grass was green on the other side until that was Gus Wallen on the grass over in the meadow.
She decided to go back to the farmhouse. Had a text coming through here saying they're saying the quickest way to get over one is to get under another.
Oh, my God. Who's that from?
So there you go. I can't say. Okay. Jason's on the line. G'day, Jace. What are your thoughts on the time required after a breakup to be with someone else?
Hey, boys. I was just sitting here driving from basketball with my 19-year-old, and we think that it's 3 hours.
Three hours.
So how'd you come up with that?
We got an hour to cry, we got an hour to laugh, and we got an hour to get ready.
There you okay, go.
Get the fresh shirt on.
Is that more the 19-year-old than the dad, perhaps? Let's go to Jay. G'day, Jay.
Hey, legends. How are you?
Not too bad, good Jay. How long after the breakup?
Well, I think there should be a bit of time for respect, but I've got a what-not-to-do story for you.
Okay.
A fair while ago, I was dating a this nice barmaid at a pretty fancy a nightclub, and every Saturday night she'd leave two tickets for me to come and bring a friend.
Nice.
And that was going all right. But then I met this other girl and I invited her out on a date, and I decided to take her and use the two tickets to get into this nightclub. And
what?
When we went in, you know, there's my the girl I was seeing. She looked across and she's like, who's that? And I'm like, we need to talk.
Oh. And what happened? Did you end up with either of them in the end, Jay?
Yeah, the second one was a little bit nicer, but not forever. But yeah, it was pretty ruthless. Looking back, I'm not proud of it.
It was a bold strategy. Yeah. Bold strategy.
You'd have to be a good looking cat to come up with that type of stuff.
Yeah, Jay wasn't one of your best. Hey, Pat, what about you, mate? How long after the breakup, mate?
Mate, well, I was playing footy with a guy who planned to get married to this girl that he'd been taken out for about 4 years.
Mm.
She broke up with him a couple of months before the wedding. Now, when they broke up, she started going out with another bloke from the football team.
Oh, how quickly?
Oh, within a week.
Oh, no, that's not good.
But then they got married, but on the same with all the same plans as what the original wedding was.
What?
No.
So the same church, the same reception, the honeymoon, the whole lot.
It's cookie cutter.
Cookie cutter.
That's too quick. Did it end up okay, Pat? Like, what happened between the two blokes from the footy club? How did they think about it?
Well, they didn't. Well, it would come up to us at the end of the season. So they stopped playing footy. Oh. And the other fella didn't come back to the footy team.
Oh, I can imagine that.
That's what I call a try assist.
That is a try assist. Wow. Oh. Time to talk now a little bit of footy. Crichton faces a two-match ban.
Yeah, Del, look at this. Sydney Roosters forward Angus Crichton is facing a two-game NRL suspension after being sin-binned in the Rugby League World Cup final. Crichton was given 10 minutes on the sideline by referee Ashley Klein after he knocked Samoa Hooker out. What do you think?
Yep, I've got no problems with this. I mean, he cocked his elbow. Mate, knocked him out.
Oh, he did not.
I thought it was a bit reactionary. Like he was.
But you can't cook your elbow up. It got him fair in the head. He obviously knocked him out, mate.
He was sort of stopping. He was just doing it. Matt Parrish said he should have been sent off. Matt Parrish must have been drinking.
No,
are you
he
serious?
Wasn't.
10 minutes was as much as required and certainly doesn't need a suspension.
Yeah, it does. It does. At least a week anyway. So Angus Crichton, good fella. I like him. I like the way he plays. He represents the game well, but he's got to cop this one.
Well, I think he'll definitely take it to the judiciary and try to get it downgraded at least. What about Tasmania? AFL Dream is a little step closer to reality, mate. Looks like in principle they've agreed that there will be a 19th team in the AFL.
Yeah, they've got Tasmanian government have created a funding commitment that includes $12 million per year over 12 years plus 60 million towards a high performance and administration complex. So there is a couple of things that need to close out, and that's the agreement of the other presidents of the other clubs and whether there is the agreement on a new stadium down there, which they're saying could be a price tag of close to $750 million.
So they want the state government to cough up for that, obviously.
There's a bit to do there.
Would it be good to have a side that Tasmania has their own? Because the Hawks have played some footy down there.
North Melbourne
have played some stuff down there. The Hawks have agreed to play a few games there too.
Another four games next year there. Yeah, I think it would be. I think we've seen with the Jack Jumpers in the NBL, there's a lot of support. It's a traditional state, so there is that ability to grow, you know, and foster the original states. But you know, I think there's enough support there to go on.
It's good. I'd love a good weekend to go down there, watch a game of footy. It's beautiful down there in Tassie.
I just don't want them to delay just waiting for that $750 million stadium.
No, get it done.
Get it done. Get the team in there and build the base. Go from there.
What about this? Eddie Jones in talks to join USA for a record term, 8 years, more money than God. They're really throwing it at him after what he did with Japan. He's been in England now for a little while. Looks like he'll leave that job to take on this USA spot. They've got the World Cup in 8 years' time. Thoughts on this, Del?
Yeah, look, you know, it's part of South Africa winning that World Cup as well, and obviously, you know, big part of the Wallabies when I was there. Mate, Eddie's perfect for this. He's only 62 years of age. You know, he's a bit like a Wayne Bennett. He's got that aura about him. He knows how to set up a club. Look, I think this would be a great move for the United States. But, you know, even last week when they just missed out on making the World Cup, you know, that all, I think Portugal got in front of them. But Eddie Jones would be perfect for the USA.
He'd be a saviour, wouldn't he? He'd be able to get themselves in there. Beautiful.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.